it is time for our brother Norm. He is going to give us the ultimate price. Thanks, Norm.
You're welcome. Now, that's what we're talking about, going home. Isn't that right? Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It never ceases to amaze me how God works. You heard the little children's story this morning? That was a verse found in Isaiah 1, verses 18. Isn't that correct? Yes. I was going to use that because that verse, you can put your name in front of that verse. I can say, Norm, come, let's reason together. God is a very understanding God. He wants you to be happy. Amen. He wants us with him in his kingdom, like we just heard about. I'm so thankful because many times I've seen that happen. If I speak, lots of times I will not pick the songs. I will let someone else pick the songs and see how they fit with what message I'm going to have. Today I picked the songs. But you'd be amazed at how everything works together for those who love the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankfulness in our hearts. We have a lot to be thankful for. Dear Lord, be with us now as we share. In Jesus' name, amen. If it wasn't for the grace of God, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later, I would not be here. And that has to do with my raspy voice. It's not that I've yelled at my wife all these years. I've been with my wife now for, this year it'll be, let's see now, 55 years. Amen. 55 years. Every day gets better. And I just love the girl. The first date that we went out on, we went out and I thought, you know, here's a beautiful young girl. And I'm not going to tell you what young guys have in their minds when they're 18 or 19, whatever. But the first thing she wanted to talk about was the Sabbath. I didn't know a thing about the Sabbath. I was brought up in a Christian home, but we did not talk about the Sabbath. Now that caught my attention right there. And she invited me to go to church. I accepted, and in 8 months we were married, and we've been together ever since. She also introduced me to her brother, and it happens to be Rolly sitting down here, my brother-in-law. When I met Rolly, he was a little guy, about like this, you know, and we used to go out and we used to like to hunt in those days, and we never got very much, did we, Rolly? But we used to go out together, and we had some very good times. So this morning, the intent of my sermon is to share how God will be with you even though you are not with him, and how he will stay with you throughout your whole life, hoping that you will choose to be with him. Now, I want to share with you a quote. Every day on my phone, I see quotes turn up. I can count on one hand how many I've read because I'm not interested. This quote happens to come from Ellen White. Now listen, we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and is teaching in our past history. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
Now, the ironical thing about the message today is, in order to look forward, we have to look backward. But it's not advisable always to look backwards. There was two young boys, teenagers. They were rather foolish, and they decided they wanted to take a very small rowboat down the Fraser River. So, without thinking, this is at high water on the Fraser, up in Hell's Gate, by the way, the water is going at 40 miles an hour going through there, okay? And there's twice as much water goes through Hell's Gate in a day that goes over Niagara Falls. It's well over 100 feet deep in that canyon. And even once you get farther down the river where we are talking about today in our story, the water is still going fairly fast. And remember that it's high water. So there's a lot of water and it's running very quickly. The two young boys, I don't know if I could call them boys or fools, they got in this little boat, two little paddles, and they started going down the river. No pail to bucket the water out with. No life jackets. And like I say, small little paddles. They're going down the river. They're out in the middle now. They thought that's where it's going to be the most fun. They're out in the river in the middle. Now they're starting to wonder, was this such a good idea? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Was this a very good idea that I did this? No, you hit your head on your head. You think, what am I nuts? What am I doing out here? They're going down the river, and there's actual spring salmon jumping beside the boat like this. Great big spring salmon. And it's a small boat. And now when I say boys, they're teenagers, so they're fairly heavy. So the boat, what happens when the boat gets in the water with a lot of weight? It starts to go down. And so they're rushing along. The reason I'm telling this story is they weren't worried about where they came from. They were worried about where they're going. They wanted to get to shore. And fortunately, the river went down and then it made a sharp turn. And so it brought them in close to shore. And they were able to paddle like crazy. And they got into shore. And they jumped out of the boat and they were shaking. I know, because I was one of those fools. And the reason I'm telling you this is, like I mentioned, before I knew God, He knew me. And He took care of me. The next time some idea came up like that, I had learned a lesson. Let's think this through. Let's decide what we should do. I'm going to be reading a few verses from Genesis chapter 19. And you read this at home. I'm just going to pick a few and I'll tell you where I'm reading them. And it's to make a point, by the way. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom and said, Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, no. We would rather abide in the street. Now, to start with, in those days, it was customary to have someone at the gate. Quite often, it was an elder that knew a thing or two. And if anyone needed to know something, they could go, they could ask him, or he would watch who came in the gate. The other thing was for hospitality's sake. If strangers like this, they didn't realize they were angels, he wanted to invite them to his house. So they did finally go. Now, this is why they are there in this verse 13. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is written great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Ooh. 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, Lot saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, and which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. 17. And it came to pass, when he had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither Stay thou in all the plains, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. So it's a way out. What happened here? Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. There's a way out. The Lord had made a way out, but she looked back. Have you ever considered this verse? Why would she look back? Do we look back in our lives for the wrong reason sometimes? Sometimes perhaps we look back. Perhaps it's some of the sin that's come into our lives. If you have confessed your sins to God, he has been faithful and just to forgive you your sins. First John 1:9. You don't need to worry about those sins anymore. It's like they don't exist. He has thrown them into the depth of the sea. Don't look back. Last month, I believe it was last quarter, I came across a story. And when I read the story, I thought, oh, that's a cute little story. I like that story. And so here it is. It's a true story. A pastor one day went down to his church. And when he got to the church, there was a young boy there. And the young boy had in his hand a cage. And in the cage were a few little birds fluttering around. And the pastor said to him, what on earth do you have in that cage? And the little boy said, oh, I have some little birds. But they're not very nice birds. They don't sing very well. My grandfather had canaries. Now, they sang beautifully. But a lot of little birds don't have a nice song, but they're still nice little birds. And so the pastor said to him, what are you going to do with those birds? The boy said, well, I think what I'm going to do, he says, I think I'll take it. I'm going to play with them for a while. Then I'm going to feed them to my cat. The pastor said, would you take $2 for those birds? $2? The little boy said, well, they're just little old birds. They're no good. They don't sing good. But the pastor said, well, will you take $2 with the cage? Well, the boy said, well, you're not making a very good deal here. The pastor gave him the $2. The little boy went away happy. He had the coins. The next day, the pastor took the little cage. He went and he let the birds go. And he compared it to how Christ had come here to this world. The pastor would be like Christ. The cage would be like the world. You know, this world is getting pretty old and rusty, isn't it, when you look around? It's deteriorating. But the little birds inside. The little boy said, those are worthless little birds. Worthless. Let's compare them to us. Are we worthless? We're not worthless in God's sight. Now the story here, Lot's wife looking back. She chose, remember this, she chose to look back. She was warned not to look back. God had given a strict order, strict commandment, do not look back. He didn't want her looking back on the sin of that city and seeing what was happening, but she looked back. She chose the ultimate price. She chose eternal death, basically, over eternal life. God offers us eternal life, and it's a free gift. When Judas made a deal with the Pharisees, what worth did he put on Jesus' life? 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. He made the ultimate choice. He paid the ultimate price. He took and deceived Jesus. He gave Jesus up. And for what? 30 pieces of silver. He had the ultimate price. He chose the ultimate price in his life. Eternal separation from God. Remember, I told you that I was going to share a few things, how I see how God works in our lives. I want to tell you a story. Now, this is after my wife and I were married and we had two little girls. We were on our way back from Chilliwack. We were driving, I think it was a Nova, about a 1968 Nova.
Amen.
Amen, yeah. Well, in those days, the thing would get you where you wanted to go if you had enough time, right? It wasn't a fancy, classy car, but it used to get us where we're going. We lived in Hope here, and we decided we were going to go to Chilliwack to have a shopping trip and go visit Rolly, probably, and Oma and Opa, that's the mom and dad. And so we went down, and now it's getting late, and we got to get home. So we got in our Nova, and we hit the road. We're coming up the number 7 highway, and we came to a hill, and we started going up the hill. Now, the car started to slow down exceptionally faster than what it normally did. I know that it wasn't a rocket, but I also knew that, hey, there's something happening here. Before I knew it, the car came to a stop. Fortunately, there was a passing lane, so I was in the slow lane. It's pitch black out. I have got no cell phone. They didn't have cell phones in those days, right? Cars were zinging by me like that, not stopping. The car wouldn't start. You know how it is, like that. So Lori and I said, let's pray. So little girls come, well, pray. No, and we prayed and asked the Lord to help us because we're in a predicament here. You love us. Please help us. And we were talking this morning about miracles, Cindy. Remember how we're saying God will do a miracle when you really, when it's really important. The car started.
Amen.
Started, drove it home, parked it in the driveway. In the morning, I went out. I tried to start. Do you think that car would ever start again? No. The fuel pump was gone. It was shot, completely shot. God answered our prayer just when we needed it.
Amen.
Another time, almost identical to the same spot, before I was married, before I had accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was building that highway. That's what I did all my life, as I worked with heavy equipment. And number 7 highway over here is one of the highways that I built, or helped build. I had a part. And so I'm driving a dump truck. And we're hauling fill from up close to this end of the highway, way down. And there was a great big deep ravine. And we're filling the ravine in. And I backed up to the back to dump. And the bank gave way. And over I was going. In my dump truck and everything, going over the edge. Have you ever heard of the still small voice? Has God ever talked to you with a still small voice? He talked to me at that moment. He said to me, like, here I'm holding on to the steering wheel. It's all I got to hold on to. Open the tailgate. Open the tailgate. I reached down, I opened the tailgate. For some reason, the load of gravel that I was hauling came out faster than what I'm falling. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. That whole load of gravel came out and cushioned my fall. Now, when I come to, like from, I wasn't sleeping, but I was just kind of, I'm sitting here and this is what I'm looking at, like that. I'm looking straight up like this, but I'm not hurt. Amen. That's what I say. You know, I worked in construction on highways, railroads, pipelines, power lines, all my life. I never got hurt once. I never broke a bone. The only time in my career I broke a bone was in my living room, jumping up for supper. I jumped out of my chair with a great excitement of having my wife's hamburger night, veggie hamburgers, and I twisted my ankle. I broke my ankle. And stubborn me, I thought, well, I'm tough, I can take it. I didn't go to the doctor. Who goes to the doctor? Men don't go to doctors. They're for women, kids. Well, the next morning I thought, I think maybe I got a little bit of woman in me, or I'm just a little weaker than I thought I was. And so I go to the doctor and he says, you broke your ankle. So he put a cast on it. And Monday morning I was back in my machine, working. God works in amazing ways. Protected me all those years. One time I was in an excavator working up by Spencer's Bridge. I was on a steep bank. And when you get an excavator, they got steel tracks. And when you get on rock, there's nothing to hold you. You start to slide. Well, I started to slide. I'm sliding sideways like this toward the river, the Thompson River. Just inches before the river, still on a slope like that, for some reason, that excavator came to a stop from me going out and dumping into the river. God works in amazing ways. To share with you what I was talking about earlier, by the grace of God, I'm here today. In 2019, I got double pneumonia. I had no idea how I ended up in the hospital, but I ended up in the hospital. When I'm in the hospital, I get a MRSA infection. Now, my wife comes to visit me faithfully every day, and the doctor says to her, your husband isn't going to live. If he wouldn't have come in the hospital when he did, he had 3 hours left to live. 3 hours left to live. I was in a coma for a number of months. When I came to, I had no idea where I was. I was strapped into a bed. I had more tubes and wires on me than a television set. And they put a trach down my throat. They warned me that I probably will never speak again. I'll never be able to talk again. But here I am. Not only that, one day they came to my wife and they said to her, we need that bed. We want to unplug him. I was on life support. And they said, we're going to unplug him. And they showed her x-rays of my chest. There was one little hole like this that wasn't plugged solid with this pneumonia. They said, there's no way that he's going to live. And she said, there's no way you're going to unplug him. Amen. And they didn't. A lot of prayers went up. I don't know if this church prayed or not, but a lot of prayers, thousands and thousands of people prayed. And I was able to not walk out of there, because when I woke up, I couldn't even lift a pencil. I lost all my weight. I was just skin and bones. They were feeding me through a tube. And like I say, I was all attached to this. But I was able to get in a wheelchair and slowly, slowly, but surely, I made it home. It was just because of God cares. God loves us. So, we are facing an uncertain future. We don't know what's going to happen next in this world. Things are changing very quickly. But as I read here this morning, and you can probably say the same thing as I, when you look back in your life, how has God worked with you? Day by day, God has been with us. God is there to care for us, to strengthen us. Because he has somewhere he wants us to be. Now, the thing is, it's a choice. God doesn't force it on us. God wants us to choose freely to be with him. I'm so thankful that God saved me. You know, when I was laying in the hospital bed, and I'd come to, and I was thinking, the time goes very, very, very slowly. You don't realize how much time you have until you got nothing to do. One night I was laying in bed, if you could call it a bed. It was a very fancy bed, I don't think. Like the thing went up, down here, twist, just so you wouldn't get bed sores. And you're tied in, so you can't. I wanted to escape, I really did. But they won't allow you. I'm laying in that bed. For some reason that night, it was pitch black in that room. And I'm laying there, I have got no idea what time it is. And it seemed like the door opened because a light appeared. And I lay there, and I'm looking toward it. It's like I'm looking out that door right there. But I can't get up, I can't do anything. And I thought, oh, maybe it's the nurse. The nurses came in all the time. I had my own nurse, 24 hours a day. There's a window there with a nurse sitting in it. That night I couldn't see anything in that room. It was dark, everything was dark. And this light I'm talking about comes toward me. I'm laying in the bed and it is coming beside me. And I realize that that is not a nurse. As much as I can tell, this light did not speak to me. It looked at me. It reached out to me. My guardian angel. It was there for a while and then went past and was gone. I never forgot that. I never forgot that. I'm sure it was my guardian angel. You know, I can't understand if people just took a minute and looked around and can't say, there's more to this earth. There's got to be something more. But God will talk to you. God will inspire you. So what I would like each one of us, every time you get a chance to talk to someone, try and encourage them to know God. Amen. Because God wants us to be there. He was willing to come to this earth and to give his life for us. Don't give up eternal life for eternal death. That's the ultimate price you're going to pay. This world is very, very, very short. And as time gets near the end and things start to get very, really bad, God has promised to be with us and to see us through those hard times. Amen. Now, when I think about how God allowed me to be a father and have little children, I can compare how God looks at us. As I look at my child, there's nothing I won't do for my child. Even though my children are growing up now and they have their own ideas. When my kids were around in teenagers, they used to do things that I didn't understand. I didn't understand. But you know, I still love them. And that's why I can relate to the prodigal son. When the father saw that son coming back, he was so happy. And I am just so happy that Christ is coming back for me. He's coming back for you. How many of you know that that's going to happen? Do you know that for sure? Why? Because God made you a promise. God does not break his promises. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the short time we've had here this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that you answer our prayers. We're thankful that you have gone to prepare a place for us, that where you are, we might be also. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings, our weaknesses. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be hospitable. Help us, Lord, not to look back on things of this world. Heavenly Father, help us to be forgiving. Father, we pray that each one of us here today and our loved ones and those that have gone before us, we can all meet around the tree of life. We look forward to that day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you all.